Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care. Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Hey, it's Tony Bruschi, and this is our Week in Review. Over the weekend, taking a look back at some of the most compelling conversations and stories that we've covered for you of the last week. Brand new episodes back Monday morning, bright and early, 5 a.m. here on the podcast.
This is an examination of the hidden human condition.
This is the Hidden Killers Podcast
with Tony Bruschi.
We're talking with top criminal defense attorney Laura Uretsian today about the Daybell case. So many elements in here, Laura, that, it's hard to keep it all into one conversation. That's why I like kind of breaking it up into nuggets, because there's so many places this thing goes. Let's speculate for a minute about Alex Cox and his death. It was a pulmonary embolism, I believe, was the official cause of death. But what exactly led up to that? What caused it? The timing, obviously, very, very suspicious. Right as the children dying, right as he says to Zulema, "I think I'm going to be their fall guy." And then he dies just like that, as all things seem to work in the land of the Daybells. I'm wondering, just and specifically because there's been so many texts that have been revealed in this trial where it's Lori and Chad talking about the death levels of zombies, and is JJ at a 3 or a 0 or a 2? And Lori almost seemed to be cheering on, just counting down the days till JJ was at a 0. So then the whatever they want to call it could be carried out, the death, the thinning of the veil, whatever they named it. But in those same texts, like in the same string of kind of talking about killing their children in very elusive ways, they're talking about sex. They're talking about, you know, while we get together about this, we may have to have some intimate time. And I'm just paraphrasing. It was much more gross than that, yeah. the way that they phrased it. But it makes me wonder a bit about the relationship with Chad and Alex, because it almost seems from what we've learned thus far that the two of them may have been literally the grave diggers. He was a grave digger. And Alex seemed to do anything he wanted for the sister. We also know there was bizarre sexual tension between Alex and Lori. Many people attested to this. Many people saw them simulating sexual acts with each other, brother and sister. Was there, and I'm curious about the death of Alex, because I'm wondering if Chad was more behind that than Lori, in some sort of weird love triangle or jealousy that Alex was the one who took care of things for Lori for so long. Now Chad is in the picture and he's starting to take care of some things. Did Chad feel intimidated by the brother? Did he have a reason to kill him because Lori, he wanted all the attention. He wanted to be her psycho hero.
Yeah. So the new Alex now was taking care of the old Alex. I mean, listen, anything is possible in this story. I mean, it's one of the most bizarre cases that we've seen in a while. I don't remember anything more bizarre than this one. I mean, there were some Game of Thrones moments, right? In this case with the relationship and that sexual tension that you were mentioning between Alex and Lori, and how uncomfortable the wife was because of it, right? It's possible. I could see the prosecution arguing that and are arguing that Chad was threatened by Alex, or maybe both Lori and Chad were done with Alex, right? They didn't need him anymore. Lori had Chad at this point. Why does she need Alex anymore? And Chad comes into the picture, and they take care of him, and he's very much involved. And like you said, they're the grave diggers, right? It's not Lori who's doing all of that.
Yeah.
So I could see the prosecution arguing that, if that's what your question is.
I'm wondering, just on the speculation, why did Alex die? Was it because he knew too much, because he was the hitman on so many of these things, and they realized, oh shit, he could really turn on us if he wanted to, and expose everything that we're doing, and he'd just be another person to eliminate that would be in their way, an obstacle, as they called everyone.
I'm with you. He would have been an obstacle, especially with now Chad being in the picture, right? Mm-hmm. And we don't know how Alex was reacting really to Chad. If there was the sexual tension between him and his sister, he may not have been taking this relationship that well. You never know what's going on. But yes, he would have been an obstacle. He knew way too much. Mm-hmm. He knew too much to stay alive.
Yeah.
But again, we don't have any evidence that he was murdered. At least I haven't heard of it.
We don't technically have any evidence, and one could almost speculate to a certain extent as well that you have this much stress on you. You've been doing all of these things. That would certainly raise blood pressure. That would certainly increase odds of a natural cause of death, quite honestly. But there doesn't seem to be many natural causes of death around these two.
The timing is a bit suspicious.
Yes,
right?
A little bit beyond suspicious.
I agree. I'm with you on that. I'm with you on that. So they could have caused it somehow, but it's, and nothing is beyond these people. I mean, we're watching again a bizarre case, so anything is possible. But I'm assuming if the law enforcement had something, it would have been brought out. But maybe they had some evidence, but not enough to file the case. And why waste their energy at this point on Alex?
Yeah.
He was part of this thing. They focus on the stronger cases, and they filed one, and they got the conviction. They've got the other one, involving Charles. And why bother with that last one, right? They don't even need the second one.
Well, there's not much evidence to even go on. He was cremated, and there's nothing really that can be looked at in any greater detail at this point.
Exactly. They probably didn't have enough to move forward, even though I'm sure everybody is suspecting and thinking exactly what we are.
What's your opinion on some of the individuals who testified? I'm talking specifically about the Zulema, some of the other friends. Specifically, Zulema is who I wonder about, because she was the wife of Alex Cox during some of these bizarre bad acts that certainly went on. And from what we can understand, and if we look at the text records and the email records and such, she was part of the strings of some of these. She was communicating back and forth to the point where she would have had some knowledge that there were these deaths going on. Do you think that at some point they may try and prosecute her for being part of this conspiracy, for at least having knowledge of some of these things, maybe not executing them or carrying them out, but in fact having knowledge and not stepping forward and saying anything because she too believed at the time in these bizarre religious beliefs?
I don't think they're going to prosecute her. No. I think if they were going to prosecute her, they would have done it by now.
Okay.
I think the fact that she really cooperated, sure, she knew. She must have had an attorney who was advising her. And there must have been, maybe there's some talks with the DA's office or law enforcement. I don't know. I can't tell you what was going on.
Sure.
In closed doors. But I think the fact that she cooperated the way she did without invoking the Fifth Amendment.
Yeah.
Maybe that she's not concerned about that. Maybe there were some promises made. I can't tell you for a fact, but I don't expect a prosecution. Can they? Yeah, potentially if she had knowledge. I mean, she's a co-conspirator.
Yeah. If there were promises made in a situation like that, would that be published? Would that be public record that some sort of deal was made, or is that always something that would be, between the parties?
No, it had, if there was a deal, an official deal, obviously, if they gave her immunity, for example, or if there was a deal, it should be something that it's exonerating evidence and it should be turned over to the defense. Mm-hmm. But sometimes the deals aren't made officially. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it could be a wink and a nod or whatever. Really? I mean, where the person basically realizes, okay, let me just cooperate. Or they take the risk. They decide, okay, I'm going to cooperate as much as possible. And I'm going to give the prosecution what they want. Not because the prosecution has made me an offer or the prosecution has promised me, but because, you know, what other options do I have? I'd rather cooperate and then maybe they'll decide not to prosecute me.
More like somebody saying, you know,
sometimes it's unsaid, right? We don't even talk about it.
Just someone suggesting in some way, shape or form, like, it's in your best interest to do this. And
yeah, they think something to that effect where they're not, there's nothing in writing. Nobody's really making a promise. Mm-hmm. No promises whatsoever. No guarantee. You testify, you give us, you say everything that we're hearing that you're going to say, you know, based on your proffer or whatever it may be. But we can't promise you what's going to happen.
I'll do one more question, then I'll let you go. Let me ask you, of all the moments in this trial, of all the testimonies, do you think there was one nail in the coffin moment, or what stands out to you as being possibly that, or one of the most impactful moments of the trial?
God, okay, I have to think this one through. Impactful moment. One of the things that really stayed with me was all the steamy texts. two kids are missing and dead.
Yep.
And you knew that a jury that's listening to that and seeing some of that evidence and the condition the bodies were in, one chopped up, one still in his PJs. It's just, to me, that was it. I mean, there's no room for sympathy. There's almost no room for reasonable doubt. It's pretty harsh stuff for any jury. And it's almost visceral, even though it shouldn't be. But I thought that those were really, 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 really bad. Especially, you know, coming from a mom.
Yeah.
Okay. So, to me, that was it.
This is an examination of the hidden human condition.
This is the Hidden Killers Podcast
with Tony Bruschi.
Lara Yaretsian, thank you so much for your insight. Always appreciate you having you on the program. One of the nation's top criminal defense attorneys right there. If you like the podcast, be sure to press subscribe wherever you download podcasts. You don't miss any breaking up.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Dates or discussions on the cases we're following for you right here. I'm Tony Bruschi. Stay with us.